Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and yes, unfortunately, this podcast is now an HBO Max exclusive. And with me, I have...
Lana, just quit while you're ahead, please. You're about 2 miles back, so, cut it.
And...
Well, this is a big weekend considering that the Inari remix had Doja Cat in it, and oh boy.
Yeah. I look forward to Doja Cat and Lana Del Rey appearing on Real Time with Bill Maher to complain about cancel culture, cause we live in hell.
It's been a week.
Yeah.
From that to that. Oh, stupid. Oh, we get the you-know-what cut because we keep bothering to come in long enough to do it because y'all ain't got no lives and y'all can't get no... Y'all can't get pussy or dick.
Yeah. Just... And people wonder why I drink. Well, okay, I drink for a lot of reasons, but that's a reason. Just... Anyway, episode 177. Are we all still in there, or have we officially gone insane?
Well, for me, I'm all over the place, because... Oh, God, where do I start with last week? Between the pretty horrible deaths in the wrestling world, Zach Bursey from Anime News Network being dead... And just everything feeling like shit, just, it was a week. And I tried my best to, go out for a little bit, get some fresh, humid air, and, enjoy, whatever I can. Because there are a few places here in town that are not super crowded. I'm still able to go to the video game store by UNC Charlotte. It's not that bad. Yeah, it's good so I can still go there and know I won't be hounded by people who are stupid, because people who go there are smart, generally speaking.
Generally.
But there's something I want to mention, because while I was on my way home, I had to stop, to go to a drugstore, get a couple things. Pretty empty in there. I look around, and nearby there's a line full of people. Waiting to get inside this place. Burlington Coat Factory.
That place is still around?
Why are people waiting to go into Burlington Coat Factory of all places?
Are they that fucking bored?
Apparently. And yes, the crowd was predominantly white. It's just... Of course. Oh, God damn it. If I can borrow a Nash-ism based on everything that I've seen over the past weekend, we're all gonna die. I laugh to hide the pain that I feel because the people around us are stupid. Very, very stupid. Just, God. Again, I will keep repeating this until it happens. Let's just skip to next year. This year can go burn in a fire. Nothing good has come from it. Everything still sucks. And it's still May. We have another long month right here. It's just...
I'm still trying to process people. The fact that people shop at Burlington? Really? That place?
Yeah.
I thought that was just like some long con practical joke that lost the plot a while ago. I didn't know that was like a place where people went to. What the fuck?
I could not tell you why. And yes, it is more than the place where Artemis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia goes to get her irregular clothing while she's not busy bleaching her asshole.
Mm. At least that's still on Hulu.
Thanks, Disney.
Oh, yeah, Ivica. Yes, Synergy.
Yeah, thanks, Disney.
Meanwhile, I'm still sitting here with the terrifying realization that all the Cartoon Network Adult Swim stuff I binge is moving to a completely different streaming service, and I have to pay for that, which I can't because job problems. Everything's fine. No one check on me.
Ask your folks to get HBO on your cable package. That way you get it for free like I will.
At least your cable thing got HBO. Like mine.
That's gonna take
Thanks,
some
Dish Network.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
So, am I keeping it all there? Yeah, but here's the thing. I was always insane, but yeah.
I mean, okay, mood.
Always insane and exhausted.
Aren't we all?
I mean, except, well, yeah. But maybe they say and exhausted, because, like I said, I've been working all week. Only got one day off, which is gonna happen again, because I don't know why. I mean, I don't know what that means. At least I still get paid for because I need to pay, take care of bills and stuff. Which, I mean, that's a plus. But look, after work, I just want to sleep on my couch and just like. But yeah, it's just been. Well, it's been a week. It's been a week. You know, with all the shit he just mentioned earlier and. Keep seeing stupid people doing stupid shit, like go to a pool party full of crowded people, which that doesn't look fun. It looks how I always feel in those things. Like it smells funny. The people are kind of rude. I want to go home. Basically that shit.
Like, you want to talk bioweapons research labs? I'm pretty sure like those pools at those water parks count to a T. I don't know what kind of Resident Evil shit is brewing in there, but it's, we all gonna die.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not want to go to any other water park again. At least you like doing that in summer because it's hot. And you want to feel cool, refreshed. But not this year, no.
No.
Yeah, just everything is fucked. Anyway, speaking of things that are fucked, my sleep schedule I have recently discovered. Because I find it hard to get any fucking sleep at night these days. I get a bit, not as much as I would like, and I find myself taking a lot of naps throughout the day. You know, when I'm not binging stuff on Hulu or Netflix. By the way, speaking of binging, you know what I finally watched this past week? The entire first season of Tuca and Birdie. By the way, can we talk about the fact that that's coming back?
Thanks, WarnerMedia.
Yeah.
On Adult Swim.
On Adult Swim.
How that even happens, I don't know. It's usually the other way around, but I will say, yes, very funny show, really great comedic energy, very intensely animated, and there are a lot of animal titties in this. Seriously, I have no idea how that translates to broadcast TV, especially since we can assume they'll probably rerun the first season at some point. Before season two?
Yeah.
Seems like a reasonable guess.
Probably. Probably. Let's all be thankful that Adult Swim got it before Comedy Central could get it and do nothing with it. Like they always do.
Oh, yeah. I keep getting the comments that they do that shit.
We will take any opportunity we can to shit on them and their parent companies.
Because they ass.
Thanks a lot, Viacom. Anyway, yeah, that's basically been about it, so now we should probably move on to our usual business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. Of course, as always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and add some new songs to your playlists and stuff. First up here, hey, look at that, we have another album delay to deal with because of this whole pandemic. Of course, as you know, the band Haken is coming out with a new album, Virus, the follow-up to 2018's Vector, in case you need to know about that unfortunately timed title. This was originally supposed to come out June 5th, but yeah, it's being delayed a couple weeks down the road to June 19th. But we still have another single to pass the time here, one called Invasion, this being the third one. And, okay, so the lead-off single was a really particularly heavy progressive metal jam. The previous song we talked about was much more lighter in a very Radiohead-esque sort of sense. And this one, it's kind of, like, somewhere in between. Like, it has this kind of warbled, buzzing intro with that staccato melodic vocal rhythm that sounds, in a way, almost kind of more like Leprous than anything else. Then you start adding in the rest of the band with, like, the synths, the drums and the guitars kind of having like that very genty rhythm that matches the vocal patterns in a pretty succinct way, that and the drums too. Then it kind of settles into like these chugging groups with a lot of these really punchy chord accentuations, those, you know, pounding tom fills. They kind of flow back and forth between like melodically epic in scope and really, really menacing, especially when the vocals start picking up a lot more gruffness in their delivery. Yeah, just kind of bouncing back and forth between those moods. It's a nice sort of centerpiece of the really, really heavy and the really melodically, you know, well-written. This is, again, another solid album showing another solid single, rather, showing a lot of songwriting range, and I'm still hyped for this, even if we have to wait another couple weeks. Which is kind of funny, because I'm pretty sure I've already seen reviews of this thing, like, floating around the internet in the past week or so, so...
Yeah, funny how that works. The structure of this song reminds me a bit of kind of a little bit of Thank You Scientist. It's very staccato-y and has a great chorus hook to it. It's just missing more of the jazz fusion elements in favor of more of a straightforward progmetal sound, you know, with heavy, genty A-string guitars and all that stuff.
And now we move on to our next batch of tracks here. So, a while back, we talked about some new music coming out of the camp of Brockhampton. Apparently, while they already have a new album, like, in the pipeline at some point in the future, they've apparently been doing semi-secret live streams on Twitch under the series name Technical Difficulties, which is where we've been getting a lot of these random song drops here and there. And this week, we have three to talk about here. The first of these is called IFL, and I'll say the beat kind of reminds me of like a moodier version of something like, say, that Jay-Z song Empire State of Mind. Lyrically and performance-wise, this is mainly a Matt Champion, Kevin Abstract joint, with Matt doing all the verses as he's kind of lamenting his love life and how scared he feels about a lot of things in his life. Although there is kind of like some weird lyrical motifs here and there, like when he says, "If I ever die young, have Larry David do the eulogy." That's especially something about filming his funeral on a really cheap camcorder. You know, Kevin, he mainly handles the chorus, and it's a lot of usual territory about, like, being unable to trust a lot of people, you know, because they're famous and all that shit. Then once you get to the other two tracks, worth noting that a lot of these feel very much driven a lot by Matt Champion in a certain respect. And there's kind of, like, a similar, like, sort of R&B-ishness to a lot of it. The second track, Downside, which is, again, mainly Matt, which features, like, the chorus being done by Ryan Beatty? Beatty? I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Again, a melancholic rap R&B joint. He sounds really depressed in regards to his relationships and his fame. The chorus, you know, Ryan, very auto-tuned, sounds nice enough, I suppose, but not one of my all-time favorites or anything. And then, of course, you get the last track, Baby Bull, which, I can tell from the audio rips that I'm guessing these songs must be streamed, like, back-to-back, because Baby Bull intros with kind of, like, this radio DJ thing segueing from the instrumental of Downside into this one, which kind of has more of this romantic R&B, like, you know, acoustic flamenco guitar thing with all the vocalists involved, you know, singing very romantically about trying to romance a woman. Again, a lot of Matt in the verses. You get a lot of sung vocals from Merlin and Bareface. And, of course, some vocals here and there from Joba, because he and everyone else is thirsty AF, so to speak. Yeah, these songs, if you're into the more romantic romantic R&B side of Brockhampton jams, then these are certainly the songs for you.
I'll say this. IFL do got, like, going forward. Yeah, it does remind me of more of a, you know, more of that classic New York hip-hop vibe, at least from the production. And I do the transition from Downside to Baby Bull, which, all right, they made some good, like, R&B ish rap tracks. Like, they're pretty good. So I gotta say about that.
Yep. Now, anyway, time to move on to our next song here. So it's been a while since we've heard anything from the camp of Faith No More, especially considering that this year they were supposed to be playing a major show with System of a Down, and I forget who else they were touring with as well. I think Korn too, but that of course got pushed to next year. But it looks like there is some activity in their camp, as we have here to talk about the debut single from a new project of Faith No More's Roddy Bottom called Man on Man, a project that he forms with his husband, boyfriend, I forget if they're married yet or not, but yeah, Joey...
It's the latter.
Ah, so yeah, Joey Holman, these are the duo here, and we have the debut single from them titled, what, it's called Daddy. Look, you know how there are people who are sick of words like moist? That's me with Daddy, just like... Put that word in the corner somewhere. Keep it away from me. And, okay, so how to describe this song? Well, as you could probably guess from, like, the band promo photo and the implications of the titling and all that, yeah, this song is absolutely one of the most homoerotic 90s alt-rock type jams that you will ever hear. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, there's some synth parts in here, as well as a lot of, like, really grungy 90s guitars with this kind of steady tempo and progression that's every bit as, like, melancholic as, you know, the period of alternative rock that Faith No More came up in. Again, very melancholic with incredibly horny on main lyrics. It's an alright song. It's not my favorite thing in the world or anything, but, you know, if this is your thing, then, hey, good for you.
Okay, first of all, YouTube can suck a fat one for saying that this video violates their terms of service when folks like the quarter guy, the drama star, whoever he is, and the Nazis are allowed to do whatever they want with no repercussion. So yeah, the video is up on the group's Instagram account, so it's not totally gone. It's just not very optimal to watch it on Instagram. yeah, it's definitely a bit of an electro-wave garage rock thing. Described as, quote, gay lovers making gay music that swings more to the pop spectrum than anything you might know Faith No More for, while also sounding kind of like early Mike Patton with the vocal delivery. Interesting choice with the video as well, going away from the typical super idealistic body image in favor of who the guys really are. Big, hairy, and wearing white Hanes. Mm. Yeah, because, you know, the rest of us aren't models or bodybuilders. Oh, and to the knuckle draggers in the blabbermouth comments, I'll just mention this. The reason why straight artists don't constantly bring up that they're straight has more to do with cultural acceptability than anything else. They don't have to say it because people know. It's called using your brain. But, you know, some people need it to be spelled out to them. And then they complain when it's spelled out to them. And if any of y'all out there are so turned off by this concept, then you should not listen to the Faith No More song Be Aggressive anymore. Hint, it's not about a cheerleader routine.
Magnificently put. And, oh shit, that reminds me. Tomorrow's my 4-month anniversary. Shit.
Young ones.
Yeah.
Young ones. I'll let you figure it out on your own. Time is a wonderful construct.
Indeed. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, as I'm sure we all know, the entire concept of theatrical distribution has been completely fucked by this plague. It seems like just yesterday we were all piling in the theaters to watch, I don't know, My Hero Academia, Heroes Rising, which, now I think about it, that might actually be the last movie I saw in a theater before this whole plague took over.
Oh, the last one I saw was Birds of Prey, which, alright, that's cool. I saw My Hero Academia, but you know what? You know what? That's cool, too.
Yeah, I still need to see that movie myself. As for me, oh, yeah, I guess it was Heroes Rising for me, too. Here I saw all those time it was Sonic. Whew, dodged a bullet there.
But, yeah, anyway, as you can probably tell, pretty much since Onward, a lot of movies have now been, you know, going straight to on-demand and digital releases. One film in particular being a autobiography of the late years of the gangster Al Capone. Simply titled, well, Capone, it was supposed to come out later this year, but then it just got distributed, I think, a couple weeks ago, if I recall correctly. This is a film from director Josh Trank, who you might remember for Fantastic Four, the recent one.
And it's
Fan4Stick. Oh boy,
Fan4Stick.
Yeah,
starring Tom Hardy in the titular role. And from what I've heard from the reviews, this movie is not good.
Oh dear, are we talking gaudy not good or basic not good?
Thankfully, just basic not good. Like, I think its reviews are kind of extremely middling, like around the 40% range if you check like Rotten Tomatoes or something. But
oh boy.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing you know about why keeps you wondering why talk about this movie? What else about who scored it? And apparently, apparently, not the first time you work with Josh Trank, which oh yeah, that's right, that did happen. So anyway, good old LP.
Yes, Mr. El Producto of Run the Jewels is the one who did the composition work for Capone. And what's weird to think is the fact that the soundtrack CD technically doesn't come out till this Friday, so like a couple weeks after the movie got, you know, distributed digitally. So, of course, in anticipation of that, a couple of the bits from the soundtrack have been released as songs. There's the first of these, Mama's Hurt, which intros with a lot of unnerving floating synthetic ambience. It just kind of throughout the run builds these synths over and over with a lot of really pronounced howling synth lines that drone on over top a lot of the empty space. There's a pretty decent dramaticness to it, like when you look at it in isolation, that kind of feels almost in the vein of like something Tim Hecker would probably produce. And then of course there's the track This Is Al That's Left, the pun there. This one, instead of being creepy, is a lot more sad and somber and moody. I'm guessing it probably comes into the movie as like the emotional climax of it. And a lot of the synths, you know, they kind of pick up in and out with this kind of stuttering melody working its way in with this light percussive track underneath that, again, for both of these tracks, I'll say in isolation, they feel like pretty effective, you know, cinematic soundtrack set pieces, but, do I really want to sit through Josh Trank directing a movie about Al Capone? Is that a thing I'm going to do? I'm not sure.
I'll say this, like, LP definitely has chops doing film scores. Like, this dude, like, I mean, at first when this was a track, I feel like, well, this was something familiar, like, something, like, in the vein of, I don't know, like, either Tim Hecker or, shit, what's that dude's name, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, or you know what I'm gonna say, Andres Point Never. I feel something in the vein of that. And these are decent score pieces. Even though it's from a movie from a guy who had potential, but that got fucked. I mean, I can't watch Congo again because nobody from that movie, except Moby Jordan, got a good career after that.
Yeah.
Just think about it. And the more I think about it, considering, like, I read that LP did do the end credits of Fan4Stick, the reboot, the end credits music, which, okay, now thinking about that, and then jump at the whole thing, oh yeah, Run the Jewels did that one song to that better movie, which stars Tom Hardy, and oh my god, I just created, that just do like a... Something.
It's all connected!
Like, yeah, that shit. Okay, this is kind of weird, but yeah, like I said, LP may be, LP, good film composer. He's getting more work as that. Just somebody other Josh Trank.
Yeah. Anyway, time to move on to our next track here. So, producer Arca, who we've talked about a couple times here and there, she's collaborated with people like Anarchy, and I believe was featured on that Adult Swim Noise compilation from a few years back. She's got a new album coming out June 26th called Kick Eye. And apparently I missed the first single, Non-Binary, but we have the second single here, Time. And it's a pretty basic song. There's not much to say. It's got this really straightforward synth melody accompanying vocals that are heavily coded in a lot of reverb and auto-tune that, like, burst and echo outwards with some noisier bits in there where the synths kind of swell and produce these rhythms that sound like they're, for lack of a better term, kind of scraping, like, against the mix. I mean, it's not there's not much else I can say. It just kind of loops that basic beat for like a little less than 3 minutes. But for what it's worth, the synth melodies here do at least sound occasionally pleasant when it's not dipping into noise territory.
This song got a good city beat to it. And looking at the track list of this, I'm wondering, track 8 says KLK. I wonder what the fuck that stands for, which, nah, it ain't gonna stand for that. I know it ain't gonna stand for that.
Oh, dang it. Let me just say that this video is way more suggestive and risque than Man on Man, so what the crap, YouTube?
I don't know.
What gives?
That's on YouTube.
Maybe it's because, like, they're mad that Roddy Bottom isn't conventionally attractive with a svelte physique. Bastards.
Thanks, Google.
But, yeah, let's move on from that to our next track here. So, it looks like the lads in Devil Driver have a new two-part album project coming down the pipeline called Dealing with Demons, the first part of which is coming out October 9th. Now, we have the lead single from the first part here called Keep Away With Me, and while the video is technically extremely themed to the current goings-on of the world because of the pandemic, according to vocalist Des Fafra, apparently the song is really more stemmed in the fears of paranoia stemming from his own lifelong sense of crippling agoraphobia. So, I don't know how long this album was in the pipeline before this pandemic happened, but, you know, it's probably fair to say that it was just a coincidence of things. And I will say, you know, lyrically, when you hear it, like, in the chorus and everything, it is a valid sentiment to, you know, sing about that kind of crippling psychological insecurity, those fears and whatnot. But then there's, of course, the actual music, which is where we get to the problem, because, look, I'm just gonna say, I never got the appeal of Devil Driver at all. Like, it's just this slow plodding. This song just has generic chugging riffs, the occasional pinch harmonic, the super stereotypical lead melody that you tend to hear in a lot of metal like this. And it's just, it's really boring. Like, are you sure we can't just get another Cold Chamber album? At least Cold Chamber is interesting, even when they're bad.
Apparently, this album has been completed, or in some capacity anyway, back in January. So I don't know why they're taking this long to release it, but, you know, whatever. And yeah, a double album, because that worked out real well for Demon Hunter, didn't it? as for the song, it's fine. It's okay. It's an average anthem to all of us who are acting responsibly and not hoarding around in line to go in a Burlington coat factory. I don't understand white people anymore. They're just, apparently some of them are threatening to shoot their dick off because it makes them a man of some kind, America, I don't know.
Okay, you know what, go ahead.
Yeah, that'll show us. Yeah. Go ahead, blow your nuts off. Though I am kind of disappointed that in the deaf, dumb, and blind line, we didn't get shots of Bolsonaro, Boris, and Trump. Clear shot and an easy hit, and they didn't take it. That makes me sad.
Yeah, it was like right there. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Just low-hanging fruit, like hanging so low it's at the ground. Come on, man.
Yeah, and we're not done with the music that relates to the whole COVID-19 thing. Now, as you might remember, a couple months back, we had Vermicide Violence, the deathcore project of Jared Alonji, dropping The Praxis of Prophylaxis, their debut full-length album, which had lyrics that were all medical PSAs for damn near everything, including the whole COVID-19 pandemic with the song Corona Viscerated. By the way, fun fact, you know originally that was just supposed to be a song about STD prevention that got rewritten on the fly to be about this whole plague?
Huh.
Learn something new.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's not done with the spoof music or riffing on this whole stupid time we find ourselves in, because Mr. Alonji has released a new two-song split of sorts called, well, Co-Split 19, which features two brand new songs from two of his different projects. First up, there's the Canadian Softball, his emo spoof track, socially distant. It's basically, you know, social distancing, but it's a whiny emo song, and it's pretty much a perfect interpretation of, like, the American football style of really math rock driven, like, emo. The vocals, you know, being super whiny, a lot of lyrics about the dullness and boredom experienced during the quarantine, like, I already binged all the Tiger King, trying to make money from remote work, really snarky quips about grandma dying. Pretty much sounds exactly like, you know, someone whining about having to be quarantined all the time, including a pretty funny line about the, you know, Animal Crossing, which, I'm just gonna say this, I'm like halfway tempted to use the Dodo code featured in the lyrics, just cause I gotta see if that'll work. It probably won't, but what if it does? Is that an opportunity I should jump on?
Okay, yeah, nice noodly emo rock to carry our prolonged mood for all of us who are acting responsibly. Unlike the next track, which is the complete opposite.
Yep. The first song from this particular spoof act of his, pretty much since the release of that Beating a Dead Horse album, from his hardcore spoof parody project, Chewed Up. They have a song on this split called Plandemic, which, first off, not gonna lie, it kind of slaps pretty hard. It's pretty much that kind of beatdown hardcore in the vein of bands like Harm's Way, or very specifically Knocked Loose, given how many times Jared added Knocked Loose on Twitter saying not to show them this song. It's got this really, like, slow pounding, like, drum and guitar groove with those sick breakdowns, and especially that fucking ending breakdown, which is just all kinds of awesomely hilarious. And, of course, the lyrics, which riff on the prevalence of extremely idiotic COVID-19 conspiracy theories. Everything from 5G cell towers to the Chinese bioweapons research lab to the fact that apparently Dr. Fauci owns the patents on the coronavirus to that he's teamed up with Bill Gates to fucking vaccinate everyone with microchips. And, you know, I saw videos on Facebook and YouTube, so it must be true. And yeah, again, that ending breakdown, which is just this random assortment of barks and cries and noise, just ending with fucking someone get me a cough drop, is some pretty humorously funny shit.
Yeah, if Bill Gates really was in charge of this whole thing, we'd all have Windows phones. But, you know, those don't exist because they were terrible. So, yeah. Take that, conspiracists. But yeah, nothing like a fine, grindy satire about all the insane idiots thinking that all this is still a fabricated conspiracy solely against a fucking president and all of his supporters. I mean human capital stock.
Wow, that sounds so much like a cattle decapitation song, it's hard to believe that it was said by an actual politician. I look forward to that being sampled somewhere on their next album. You know what's going to happen.
Just a reminder that this administration sees everyone with absolute disdain and contempt. And half of those people think this administration is their friend. Because they are deeply disturbed and broken individuals. They deserve nothing but shame and absolute mockery. Hopefully in 6 months' time.
All I'm saying is, I basically see Jonestown Part 2 happening in the next year on a grander scale. We are governed by a suicide cult. But now to move out of COVID-19 territory to talk about Mike. Just Mike.
Oh, yeah.
No other words, just Mike.
Yeah, who is Mike? You were in Adult Swim, the Steam Spoke Games list this year. Like, yeah, check called Number Days. That's one of my favorite tracks so far that I heard, and I figured, he got another track coming out, and, he has the album coming out June 21st called Way of the World, which have another single. He had another single they call Hornetella, but this is about another one. It's called Nothing to Say, Never Forget. And like I said, the way opens with this sample, which this sample's called Quarrel. I'm not gonna pronounce it because I would fuck it up. So I'm gonna say this sample sounds gorgeous. And sample sounds gorgeous. It sounds so fucking amazing here. And like how the song's about mainly, it'd be many grief over the years, Lisa Mike's going to, like, he's talking about a song that his mom was singing, and he wrote for his mom, and he's talking about how his boy's in the wrong, his papa took off, all that type of, all the type of shit, was like, okay, that is some grief, like, good grief. Like, boy. But yeah, I just gotta say, this track fucking slaps. This track is really good. Second track, hearing from this dude, I'm like, okay, I'm on board, Mike.
Yeah, just Mike. You have to wonder how people try to search for this guy anyway. Who knows how many Mikes there are that rap. Just lots of rapping Mikes. But we're dawdling at this point. Although, since we are on the topic of Adult Swim singles, time to talk about the most recent entries. We have two that we gotta talk about here. The first of these coming from Sad 13. As we've mentioned before, since they've been featured on these compilations before, this is the solo music project of Sadie Dupuis, best known as frontwoman of indie rock act Speedy Ortiz. The track here is called WTD, which, according to the lyrics at least, is shorthand for What's the Drama? And I'll say, you know, it's pretty typical indie rock jam. Actually doesn't sound too separate from, like, any Speedy Ortiz material. Got a lot of twinkly guitar melodies and chords, occasional doses of distorted twang. I will give credit to the lyrics and vocal patterns. There's a really interesting kind of, like, stream of conscious flow to it with the way, like, you know, certain phrases and ideas kind of just segue into one another. So, like, one of my favorite, just to kind of cite a set of lyrics here, like, so high, quite low, mid-range, domains you control, drink me, shrink down, make a toast to the loss, you allowed it. There's something I think is kind of interesting about just kind of like that weird flow of ideas into each other in a way that, even if it doesn't look like it makes sense on the surface, you just kind of feel a vibe in you if you're willing to go with it. It's not my favorite thing they've done, but, like, you know, again, if this is your thing, then have a ball, everyone.
Yeah, very atmospheric college rock. I can kind of dig this.
And speaking of bands in that kind of vaguely similar vein, again vaguely, the second single that we have to talk about here is from a band called Omni, who with a single called Constant Reminder. And yeah, if you thought the previous single had some twang to it, no, this is some fucking twang. Twang fucking ass fuck, like, garage rock punk, kind of a lot of guitar chords just kind of thwacking around and shit, with a lot of very lo-fi vocals buried in the mix. Honestly, this kind of sounds like a better version of, like, what the Strokes were trying to do, shit, even back in their early days before they got bloated and pretentious. It's admittingly not an absolute favorite of mine, but again, like, if you're willing to vibe with this kind of, like, just pretty straightforward, like, you know, garage rock, college rock radio sort of thing, then again, it's a really satisfying song in that sense.
Second verse, same as the first? I don't know. All I got is the same thing I said about Sad 13. It's good. I guess. I don't know.
All right, now we can move out of Adult Swim singles territory into British punk territory, because it looks like those lads in the UK punk act Idols are working on their third full-length album, due out at some unannounced point in the future. And we have the lead-off single here from that album to talk about, called Mr. Motivator. And, yeah, it sounds like some pretty quintessential Prime Idols material. That drum beat has a pretty nice driving stomp to it, while every strum of the guitars has plenty of crunchy distortion with some twang and a slight echo there. There's definitely an energy there that, honestly, given the lyrical subject matter and the video, which is made up of, like, fan footage of people doing, like, goofy workouts and stuff, is weirdly less cheesy than I was expecting. I mean, there still is a cheese factor, but it's not drowning in cheese. And then as far as the vocals and actual lyrics, you know, Joe Talbot still has that thick British, like, snark in his vocals as always. And of course the lyrics are, you know, trying to, you know, find the motivation to persevere and, you know, get shit done, and some of the passages are some of the most memorably absurd they've written yet, you know, phrases such as, like Conor McGregor with a samurai sword on rollerblades, like Frida Kahlo painting Arm the Poor on your fuck-off wall, like Flava Flav in the club writing on the back of John Wayne. I have no idea what any of that is actually supposed to mean, but it's provocative, and that is some beautiful imagery right there. And as always, I am way on board for some more idols.
Okay, well, first, you stole half my notes right there.
Shit. Sorry.
Yeah, just, I don't know. This band just hasn't done much for me. Maybe it's me, I don't know, but yeah, the lyrics on here are just, I don't know what the point of these metaphors and cliches are supposed to be. Like, I'll just say more. Like, Vasyl Lomachenko after 4 pints of Gatorade. He's a boxer, so, eh. Like, Kathleen Hanna with bear claws grabbing Trump by the pussy. Feminist activist and... Yeah, okay. Like Delia Smith after 10 Chardonnays making me a nice cookie. A cookbook writer. Like Frida Kahlo painting Arm the Poor on your fuck-off wall. I think that sort of explains itself. Very anarchist, anti-authority painting. Like Tracy Emin in her unmade bed listening to The Fall. I don't even know what that's supposed to be. Like David Attenborough clubbing seal clubbers with LeBron James. What the hell does that even mean? Yeah, I'm confused. I don't know what any of this means. I don't know what the point of any of this is. It's just not for me. Not for me one bit.
Well, now we move out of the realm of UK punk to good old-fashioned American hardcore, because I feel like it's been a while since we've heard from the guys in the band Trash Talk. I believe their last full-length album was like 4 or 5 years ago at this point, but yeah, they're coming out with a new EP June 5th called Squalor, and we have the first song from the album Something Wicked, and there is a certain attention-getting name attached to this album, because... And there's a reason that I put this and the Idols track next to each other, because you know what producer, from what I've read, is apparently involved not just with Idols, but pretty much with this whole Trash Talk EP? Wait for it. Whoa, Kenny! Yeah, the contemporary hip-hop producer great Kenny motherfucking Beats is producing a Trash Talk record, which... I mean, there's not no precedent for this. Trash Talk have flirted with the hip-hop sphere here and there. Remember, one of their first, probably their major breakout project, 119, was released on Odd Future's record label, and they even cameoed on a track from Tyler, the Creator's Wolf album. So, yeah, so they exist in that sphere at times, and, yeah, freaking Kenny Beats working with Idols, that's freaking... Anyway, so... What does this track have to offer? I mean, it's pretty short, sweet, goddamn rager of a jam. Like, even though it's been a while we've heard from them, they really haven't skipped a beat. Just, literally, the whole track is just furious, pummeling D-beats all throughout. Those intense, throat-shredding hardcore vocals and gang shouts. You know, lyrics that are just about, like, how fucked everything is. Especially the one line that stands out with, for me at least, because, you know, at this rate it might as well come true. Now you flirt with disaster, World War III comes after. Yeah, this is a pretty gnarly rager, and of course, the production actually sounds really great. You know, maybe Kenny's got more up his sleeve than just producing bomb-ass tracks for guys like Denzel Curry and Zach Fox. I'm looking forward to this EP.
Okay, well, hardcore punk isn't totally my thing either. I like it enough, but I'm not super, super into it. The production on here is a lot clearer than I would have given any credit for. I don't know if that has to do with Kenny Beats or just the sound the band was going for, but yeah, it's nice, aggressive, only 90 seconds. It's a pretty good time.
They have their moments of clarity here and there.
I will say this, what it is, yeah, it's pretty solid. Oh, although, I gotta admit, I wasn't expecting a whole Kenny to come at the beginning. It didn't come.
Hey, you don't know. Maybe it's buried really deep in there somewhere. We'll just have to wait until the EP comes out. And, anyway, now we move on to our last track here, because, finally, after having to wait more than a month, This Friday, we will finally have the latest album from pop goddess Lady Gaga with Chromatica. Just, we gotta make it to Friday, man. So close. And, you know, as appropriate, given that we're finally closer to that release date, we have the latest single from the album, arguably one of the most anticipated, the track Rain On Me, featuring guest vocals from Alex's homegirl, Ariana Grande. Complete with a music video that may or may not have some Bayonetta references in there. Whoever got Lady Gaga a Switch and Bayonetta, thank you for your service to the people. And, yeah, it's some pretty prime-ass pop stuff. Introing with this pretty steady acoustic guitar layered with a lot of danceable electronic beats before the song just explodes into this, like, you know, cavalcade of, like, really extremely tight dance grooves and, you know, funky ass, almost kind of 70s guitars. Like, this feels like pretty much a really, like, solid, great, catchy modernization of, like, 70s dance and disco, which is a really great fit for Gaga's, you know, larger-than-life pop persona. Yeah, the beat's great. Gaga sounds great on it. Ariana actually sounds pretty good on it. I like this, honestly, a lot more than I like a lot of her solo material, to be honest, but that's just a me thing. And yeah, just four more days, man. Four more days.
I don't know what else to say. It's good. It's got some solid disco grooves to it. Yes, it bops, as you might have expected. Yeah, very good. It's got some solid vocal work from, especially from Ariana Grande, who's doing more of the lead work on here, with Gaga sort of hanging back, being the accompaniment, kind of like the backup on here. I don't know, maybe it's just, I mean, that's just how I heard it, but yeah. Of course, excellent production here from Burns and Blood Pop working on this track. It's a good time, and yeah, is it Friday yet? Probably. I don't know. I don't know when this is coming out. Nobody knows. Not even you.
Yeah, I think the song's very good. It's got that groove added to it. And I will mention this, the music video, which I look up who directed it, is actually Rob Rodriguez.
Oh.
Interesting.
Well, now thinking about it, she did appear on one of those, like, Machete sequels that I'm guessing no one gave a shit about.
It's not a second one. I thought it was pretty fun.
Oh, okay. I just heard mixed things. I just heard a lot of mixed things about that. Yeah, maybe the first one. I mean, I thought it was just fine. But it's like, I think it's how it connect.
Yep. And, that is pretty much about it for the song discussion and for the main body of this episode. This is one of those good old-fashioned song buffets. And all we really have left to touch on for the sign-off is the new album releases for the week of May 29th, 2020. As previously mentioned, of course, we have Lady Gaga's Chromatica and the aforementioned LP soundtrack to the film Capone. But outside of that, there's the new Alestorm album, Curse of the Crystal Coconut. The newest project from Carach on Gran with Frankensteina Strata Montanus. I'm probably not even pronouncing that right, but who cares? Yeah, this one kind of sneaking up on us, short notice, but Lil Yachty with Lil Boat 3.
Oh boy.
on the one of our 7 days last Friday.
Yeah. Mark, what did we tell you about answering that phone? Jesus, this happens every week. And the last of these releases is a new project from Diplo. Diplo presents Thomas Wesley Chapter 1 Snake Oil, which I heard is apparently a sort of country-ish thing and not going to be like an electronic album. I don't know, none of us are going to listen to it. But anyway, yeah, that's it for that. Now to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I do stuff. Usually through stream of consciousness stuff. Like I am right now, not thinking, because, yeah. It's been a week. It's already been a week.
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
Okay, on Twitter via Metal the Media, on my site, my havewhatever.com. I'm doing stuff. You'll see.
We'll see. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@sororesolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at @sororeso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, sororesolution.com, for written reviews, this podcast, podcast O&A. All the good content. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat for, memes. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for joining us this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual nonsense. And until then, all right, you fucking raccoon bastards, why the hell aren't you giving me $600 for the fucking turnips? Don't make me strangle you.
Thanks, Nintendo.